by your mighty power, you have delivered us out of darkness into your marvelous light. God, no matter what the situation and the circumstance, your hand is upon us, and we welcome it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. We come with a heart of thanksgiving. We come with a praise of thanksgiving. We come honoring you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a round of applause. Thank you. I don't know about you, but it got to be more than needed. That honor of God is a thing to our life.
I'm about to say, check you too.
Okay, are you happy that you're here this morning? Are you happy that you're born and alive this morning? Are you alive and welcoming and want to give God the praise, the honor that is due him? Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for delivering me out. I don't know about you, but I'm just excited about God this morning. And I gotta tell you, God cannot be last minute. I want to talk to the people of God, and I want to encourage you this morning that there has to be a proactive approach to who God is in our lives. When we need him, we're in trouble, we're calling on him. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he wants your proactive approach, so you already have seed in the ground. I'll tell you, I heard that seed time and harvest will never pass away. So if I already have seed for a circumstance, before I even get there, oh my goodness, I already have an answer or a solution waiting for me. Come on, somebody. So what am I talking about? So this seed time harvest works in everything. I need a seed of praise in my mouth. I need a seed of worship in my mouth. Why? I need him to already be thankful. Already know that I'm grateful. Because he's going to deliver me out. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. I am, again, honored to be able to serve God. And I'm thinking about the people this morning. Keep me on track. Because sometimes I'm thinking about those that I think should be here, that, you know, and the Lord got with me this morning. I want to talk to the team and lead us here. We got to be proactive about our approach for God. And even, I want to be ready when it's my turn, and before my turn, but not just when it's my turn. You know, I know that Pastor Bruce has been ministering on the survival God of last days and times of that, but this didn't just occur. And what I want to share with you is what's been on my heart is facing our future. How are we going to do that? How are we going to face our future? And right now, we're living in a trying time. We're living in a time of in our lives, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of things that we're not clear of. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. They say the banks are not lending money because they don't know about the market, and this one's not doing that because they're not sure about the subsidies that would come. And so you got all these things that are happening around us and are not giving us clarity and certainty to what's happening. But I need to ask somebody, is not God the still God, the God of the heavens and God of the earth still today? Is he not the King of kings and the Lord of lords that he said he was? Because according to scripture, he's not a man that he can lie. So if he made this statement, nothing's changed. He's still God. And the problem is that we get into times and that we get into circumstances, situations, and then we want God to be God, but he was God all along. And to the point where there's things that are going on in our world and around us, and God has to know what time it is. He has to know that these things are happening. So, and I got scripture and chapter and verse to back up what I'm saying today, because Too often, we're getting to a place, and I'm concerned about the people of God coming to complacent. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the people of God, like the frog, you know, who jumped in a warm pot because he was cold, right? And the water was warm, and he jumped in. He didn't realize that the longer he stayed in, the pot was on.
No, we gotta just check and see.
Oh, that the longer he stayed in, that he got comfortable, and then after getting comfortable, he came back and fell asleep. And then falling asleep, the pot was still on, and then all of a sudden, it didn't take long that as he drifted out, it cooked him. And so he was no longer asleep; he was gone. So he didn't have an opportunity to jump back out because now he let his complacency take him under. And take him over. And I want to speak to the people of God. Facing our future. With God or without God. Amen. That's the title of my message today. Facing our future. And then we can say with God or without God. And I can't imagine going any further without God. And so some of you, and I take for granted the responsibility that God has given me. And the authority that God has given me as a leader and as an entrepreneur in the world to raising up kids and raising up a generation for Christ and what he's having us to do in the school. But also here in the church, you know, too often we think, you know, and again, I don't want you, and hear me, those of you that are watching from afar and those of you that are here in the sanctuary, you know, we want your presence here, but I'm here on purpose. I'm here on a mission. I'm here with a destiny that God has given me to share with you, to build you up, to become who God's called you to be. And there's an adversary, an enemy, working every day against that and against you. But you've got to wake up, and he can't get to the surface and just think it's when trouble showed up. He was there when there was no trouble. Hello? So in other words, I want you to be, you know, you got to be on the throne, or you got to be in that place, that position, to seeking God's face in prayer at a time, not just when bad times come, but before the bad times come. And so facing our future, right now, I hear from people, I'm hearing so many people to a place of uncertainty and not clear on what God's going to do, or let me say this, where they're going to be in Christ. They're not sure about that. And the reason they're not sure is because they don't know what his word says.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something, and when I tell you about the chances and the choices, you know, I've watched myself and some things that I have to go through and some things I have to deal with. But then I watched the presentation of the point that the enemy is coming. And he'll show up in a way just what you need. All of a sudden, somebody will come out of the blue and come with an answer that sounds good to your circumstance. Woo! That sounds real good. You know, and I got to tell you, I just got approached by that. I'm ministering to myself right now because I need to hear this. You know why? Because I knew I had a circumstance. And I had a situation. And I started thinking about, this is what I need. I have this and I have that. And then I'm told the enemy know how to put the icing on the cake. He gave me double of what I need. Well, he presented it. Let me say that he presented double of what I need. Like it, and I had to start thinking of this. And then I asked myself, I said, yes, that would work. You know, I'd be out of trouble. Right? This just wouldn't have a thing. But guess what?
Yeah.
So then I thank God being on my own, on me and in me and around me and with me. Right? Because that's what I heard additionally. Right? Came into my head. And then he said, what about your people? And I said, what about them? He said, are you going to forget them? He said, you would be out of trouble. The sweat and the trouble of what you have to deal with on a daily basis would be eliminated.
He said, number two.
But the people,
that's for that.
You know, the people that you I sent along your side, they need to see the God in you stand through the times and trouble, the trials and tribulations, and they need to see you stand up for them. I said, you're right, God. You're right. And I had to let that sound that came in my ear go out the other side, because it wasn't God. It's not God. And I say, so the many of y'all, this is your share with you. See, you gotta be careful, especially so if you call belief. You call belief and face your future, and how you're gonna face it, with God or without God. So now I say, so with God, you can do it. Without God, you'll come to your own conclusions, and in your mind, you'll make it right. So like I said, I can add it up. What's that? Man, that's good, right? But it doesn't replace the need or the places where your people, all of them would be out. And I said, God, I can't do that. And I wonder how many people and how many leaders think about their people or they think about themselves. And I'm so glad I serve a God that thought about me and not himself. That he sent his son, his only begotten son, on my behalf to save me when the time of trouble, the time of need. And so all I can think of is, and you know, when we were traveling, in cars and we're going through, and we had several cars following me, there typically, I would go through the toll booth, and if everybody was right behind me, I'd pay for the 3-4 cars, whatever was following me, because I was in the front, and I was leading them, right? Now, today, we all got easy passes, so you don't want to pay me, be paid twice, because we're going to ring up. But my point in saying this is that this is how Jesus did for you and I, because he took care of the bill. He paid it in full. When he went through the toll, everything was taken care of. And everybody that was with him, are y'all hearing me? He made sure that they were covered. So he paid the toll. So when I got to the toll booth, the person in the booth said, told me to keep on going. Why? Because you already covered. This is what the blood did at Calvary. So it already covered us. So my question is, if we got to face the future, are we facing it with God or without God? Did God do what he did then for me for now or for just yesterday? And I had to remind myself that he is still God. Now, so watch this. So I want to share with you. So with God, in Matthew 19:26 says this, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So we now need to know that in myself and in my own ability, there's some things that he's given me to do that I just can't do. As often as I might think of myself and think who I am, the truth of the matter is I can't do them without God. And the things that God has given me to do, I know I can't do without him. It is quite evident to me that people are saying, you know, like everybody's got their opinions and the thing that happened in the world, did he get there? You know, our building in Wilmington is for sale, and we've got a tenant in it. But I remember having a realtor in there that was supposed to be representing me. And he was showing the building one Saturday. He was showing the building to a client, a prospective client that buy the building. Well, the people who wanted to buy the building, they really didn't care about what the building's initial purpose or plan was. They just wanted space, and they wanted to open it up, and they wanted to. So their idea was just to use everything, sanctuary, everything, not for the sanctuary, not school from school, but to open the whole building up for whatever it is they wanted to do. And I was listening to him. So he brings them into the office space, the parsonage, right? And y'all know I got cameras in there. Well, that day I happened to be on the camera. I thought, well, you know what? I'm checking the guys out. I'm going to listen. Now, obviously, these guys had money. Because this realtor was appeasing them, and they were ready to do kind of a cash deal, you know. And he said to them, you know, this is so many square feet. I think 20,000 square feet. This building is the office building. It's a part of the deal. It's all one parcel, on the deed. And then he says to them, he's talking, and he says, well, this guy got a building twice the size of this building. And he said, and I don't know how he's doing it. Now I'm sitting there thinking, what does that have to do with selling the building to the people? I'm listening to the agent talk to the people like this, and I'm thinking, why is he saying that? Like, what does that matter? His job is to sell the building. But instead, he's saying to the guy, this guy got another building, twice the size of this building, but I don't know how he's doing it. And then I wanted to speak, right? Because, by the way, the cameras have a microphone two-way. Not only can I listen, I can also speak. But I'd be scared if I said something. But I thought, I'm not going to say, because then it make it look like I'm spying on what. I just happened to be on the camera and see that they were in there, right? My point in saying that is, could it be done? If God wants to get something done, so I want to tell you something, it's not because I'm all that smart or I'm that lovely. I'm not. I will tell you. So I'll be honest enough to tell you. I'm not. And myself, I can't afford it. But with God, all things are possible. So I thought, you know, this guy obviously don't know my God. Right? And he's saying to these people, you know, I don't know how he's doing it. And I started thinking, that has no bearing on selling the building. Now, lo and behold, those guys did end up buying the building. But nevertheless, and I ended up letting that realtor go because I was thinking, I'm not quite sure he's in my best interest. I'm going to sell the building on my own. I'm going to trust God. And that's what we've been doing, you know, and I'm still trusting God for closure. And you know what? He's going to bring that to pass because he's still God. And so I had to give myself to a place of peace and comfort. I want to ask you because, see, too many of y'all are depending on your own ability. And I need the church at Faith Harbor, the people of God that's at the harvest, to understand it is impossible to do it in yourself, the stuff I'm talking about. But in God, all things are possible. So the things that God can do, whether it be a financial, healing, blessings, whatever it is, he's more than able to do it. My question is, and here's the narrative, I can tell you, you need to be showing a seed in worship. See, too often, we think the seed is financial. But that was the seed time and harvest will never pass away. It's in the scripture. So I need to tell you something. I believe we've been making investments in the wrong places. So this morning, I want to encourage you to invest in the things of God. And get your seeds in the ground because you're going to need them in the coming season. Because how we face our future, and if you're going to face it with God, you're going to need your seed in the ground so you can call on your harvest. I'm trying to help somebody. And so, and if this is new to you, that's okay. Start where you are. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I got to tell you something. You can start now and get just as much as anybody who's been in for 30 years. Because God's not a respected person, and it's depending on basing your need. How can you make that statement? The thief on the cross was right next to him. He wasn't in church. The thief identified Jesus as being God, and God said, today, when? Today. When? Today. He'll be in paradise with me. He didn't have to be in church 30 years. He had to respond to the word of God at the proper time and season. But if you've been in God for 30 years and keep responding to the word of God in there, you got 30 years worth of seeds. Oh, glory to God. Which he would tell you, you're pretty wealthy. You got some good ground. Right? So look, listen. I'm trying to get here, right? With God, all things are possible. This means that God's power makes all things possible, even those that seem impossible in human terms. So you need to get this distinction. This, again, in your own mind, you can look at it and say, I can't do that. How am I going to get that done? Me? Not the way I think, not the way I do stuff. That's not going to happen. Well, you You have no idea of who you are and whose you are and how it's going to affect you. Okay, there's some people in here, your role may not be like everybody else's role. All right, thank you, Lord. I got some people in here, right, that's in the service right now. And their job is not necessarily always out speaking to everybody else. But one of the things that's important is that they have ears to hear, and they also have a heart to receive. And so when they hear it, they receive it. They share with me what they received and how they hear. And because of that, it's an encouragement to me as a pastor to keep going on and to do what I do. So they've been assigned to just do that for me. They didn't know that. They thought their job was a whole lot of other things or what it should be. But they always talk to me. And because they always talk to me, they always tell me what God has done through the word and how it blessed them. Well, what that does for me is encourage me that I'm on the right track and I'm doing what God has called me to, because I need to hear what the response is. So effective communication is something goes out and the receiver has to receive it, but when it receives it, it transmits it back.
Right.
And when it transmits it back, then I hear what was heard, and then so now that's called effective communication, because it goes out and it has to come back. And that's in place. So that's what has occurred. So now, when I'm back there, all things. And so this phrase that offers hope and reassurance in challenging situations. Listen, without God, now I'm going to go here. So without God, let's go to Proverbs 21:2. In Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. I got to tell you, there's some things that in our own mind, we will make right. And so remember I said we're living in trying times. There's some stuff going on in our country and in our world that in their eyes, they think they're right. Right? But I got to tell you something. So because in their eyes, they think they're right. But here's what we need to do. Here's what the children of God need to do. We need to be praying, not for what side to be on. Hello? Do not be praying for what side to be on, but pray that our God, our Lord, a theocracy, not a democracy, not communism or anything like that, but this theocracy would be in place and that they would hear the voice of God through the prayers of the people. Hello.
Yes.
Trying to tell somebody something, because we started to talk. We've been getting some things all mixed up here. Facing our future. How do we do it? With God or without God? Now I've got to bring it back to your remembrance. Remember, I said I can back up everything I'm saying with scripture, chapter and verse. And so start thinking, God, were you not God when there was a good king? And then God, did you change God's ship? You move from the heavens when a bad king came?
It wouldn't be like this long.
He said, no, I was God through it all.
Years,
I was God with a good king.
Yeah, I think
she's God with a bad king. And I'm saying, what am I saying? I'm not making anybody go to bad too, by the way. What I'm sharing with you is God was on the throne because God has destiny and purpose in mind to get done what he needs to be done. And sometimes I got to use some things outside the norm to get to where I need to get to. To walk that we get comfortable in. Remember, the frog got comfortable. It's warm in here. Then to realize that he being cooked. See, that's not what God wants for people. Okay? So we got to be diligent and be prayerful to understand I need to face my future with God, with the Word of God. So I need the Word of God in my heart, on my heart, and with me. So constantly, so also, by the way, the seeds I'm sowing. The words I'm saying, what am I speaking? What am I saying? The power is in the words. There's power in the words that you say. Okay, too often we take for granted. Well, so when you talk about survival for the last days, I'm here, I'm giving it to you. One of the things is here is you can't do this thing without God. Okay, too often y'all looking for seven ways, seven different things to do it. Now, I'm going to give you 5 points of some things that you can take with you to leave to help you. As we go through adversity, to to stand on, but they're not all. At the end of the day, the Word of God is the key. The Word of God is the plan. And so, and I need you to understand something. If you're really interested in the Word of God, you'll know that you'll be the first one affected by it, but the Word of God is not just for you. Hello, somebody. There's somebody watching your life. So as you walk, and as you talk, and as they see you go through adversity, and they see how you handle it, then they're being encouraged by that there's a way out. I got something to model there. We're called templates. The church is supposed to be a template for the people of God who are looking for a way out. And some of them may not get there until they get in trouble. But I want to encourage us that are in the house of God, that are already here. We're not in trouble while waiting to get there. Hello? So, in other words, that we need to be proactive about God. We need to be thinking about Him on much more of a daily basis. Not just when we need it, but when we don't need it, but somebody else needs it. Oh, I'm getting it because this is helping me. Because I had a way out, but it was just for me. Oh, I just took this one and ran. Woo! And I'm down the street, sitting pretty. What about their salaries? What about their livelihood? What about their children? What about their life? Did I call you to you, or did I call you to the people? I didn't do what I've done in your life just for you. Now, but I did tell you, you would be calling it my word, your first partaker. But what I've done in your life is for others. I'm talking to somebody here, so you better stop looking at yourself and say, how am I going to get this done? Because you're trying to figure out, you're trying to add it up. 1 + 1 = 2. That's not how it works in the kingdom. Okay? Last time I checked, when 1 + 1 was 11 to him. I went from one digit to double digit overnight. That's not how it works. And he can do stuff far beyond your father's imagination. So listen, but in your own eye, you'll believe in your heart and your mother that is right. So like I said, I could have quickly said that this is the right thing to do. That takes the pressure off of me. But how would I sleep at night? Concerned about others. So I thank God for a conscience. Now I got to tell you something. This is true. This is the truth. There's a whole lot of pastors out there that there's some crazy things and stuff, right? And unfortunately, people will link me to what those pastors have done wrong. They won't say that about pastors, right? But for the pastors, like I see myself doing something right, who have a heart and love the people, right? They won't give you the credit for that. But I'd like to say that, you know what? And he doesn't. Why are you worried about what credit they give you? He says, at the end of the day, you can't take it to the bank anyway. He says, you got to worry about what. He says, I honor righteousness. And that stunned me because I got to tell you something. I said, I should just be like so and so. I should just do. I said some of the silly stuff. Right? And he's thinking, you can't do that. That's not who you are. You know, you're preaching truth, you're preaching righteousness. You're not preaching itchy-ear stuff to make people feel good and move them on. That's not what you can do. I can't go that way. Right? No gimmicks and no games. This is all truth and all real. Everything I'm saying can be backed up by the scriptures and the Word of God. Check it out for yourself. Okay? So listen. So here, the world we're living in should not be a surprise to any of us because we read in the scriptures. And the Bible is a prophetic book that told us about this day. The Bible is prophetic. It described something early on, right? And then it told us that Jesus was coming. And when he came, he would finalize everything that he prophesied about. And so, but here, what the part we missed is that everybody after that would have to live it out. And how would we have to live it? By faith. By faith, we would have to walk with God and through his word and bring these things to pass. And so I'm going to take 2 Timothy real quick, because I'm going to help everybody here. You just say no coincidence. You say no accident. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They said all of that, look, traitors and hardy and high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. I can't understand. You know, we had at some point, and we just celebrated here Black History Month in February. So a big part of that was because there was a group of people brought here and enslaved to help be a part of this. And so slavery itself was wrong. But then today we got this thing where, you know, human trafficking and involving the pleasure of people. What they want to do, but they're willing to take other people and traffic them and pervert them and steal them and bring them into a place. You know, lovers of pleasure more than they are of God. And all people belong to God. So just sharing with you, we're there, y'all. We're in that time, you know, and it's dangerous. For us to, and especially for those of us that know better, so when you know better, you should do better.
I just don't think
you can't keep up the other way. Hello? You got to be able to speak up and speak out. And so I say that because where we are in this world is here. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Right in verse 7. And he said, and then he goes on, that now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men are corrupt-minded and retrograde concerning the faith. And so y'all don't know who those two people were. Those two people were in Pharaoh's camp. They were magicians. And when here Moses performed a miracle in the act of God, and these two magicians try to duplicate through magic. Are y'all hearing me? So then we try to make magic of what God did supernaturally. See, that's man's version, right? God's version was he was in. And by faith, he used Moses to do something that nobody else could do. And they won't share with you. This is where he's at with us. We have to trust him that he wants to do something different than us, which means to tell you that facing our future, if we face it with God, then all things are possible. If we face it without, then all we're going to get is what we know how to do. Hello? So magicians knew how to do magic. Unfortunately, it didn't work. Right? They could not duplicate what God had done. And so we see that happen, right? And I just wanted to share that with you. He said, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. And so here we are in a place that if we trust God through the ages and through this time, God's going to get the victory. But he needs those that believe, stand on his word. And as we do, we're going to see the hand of God prevail. Right? So, with that, as our lives go through these daily challenges, there are 5 proven tactics leading through adversity, reveal great truth that every pastor and church leader and every person must face. Adversity is inseparable, and any attempt to achieve something great. And so I don't know about you, but I want to achieve something great. So I need the word of God. I need the power of God. I need to face our future. So this thing, you can't go on the internet and get 7 magic ways to make this thing happen. Oh, let me help somebody. My kids are all younger, right? I ask them about something I'm not sure of, right? And when I ask them about something that they don't know, they say, hold up. They take 2 seconds, they Google it. Okay? And they come back with an answer. They are good. They quick with it, right? And I said, But there's some stuff you're not going to be able to move. Hello? You're not, God is either with us and in us, or he's, you know, you ain't going to be able to move this. You know, and I don't know about you, but the Apple phone has changed. When you used to go to the stuff and they look it up just on the web, the World Wide Web. But now it says, do you want to use GP chat or do you want to use the web? AI, yes, yeah, so it's got two versions now, right? So you can see where Apple is gone, right? But there are five proven tactics, right? Advanced always encounters new challenges and resistance. It can be overwhelming. The awareness of opposition is very draining on resources such as our energy, our passion, motivation, and finance, and our unity. And I'm sharing with you, church, this is where God is calling us. We must maintain our unity, and we must maintain this together in these places, because that's why we all know in part, but when we do it together or corporately, and we share in one another and each other, and we support, and this is why I'm big on leaders. Let me share with you. I need leaders to lead.
Amen.
I don't come here with, and so I know, and I said something a week ago, somebody brought this to my attention, but let me make it clear. When I talk about your faith and my faith joining together, where can we be? I'm telling you, I know what I have done based off of the faith I have. What I'm saying, with your faith and what God has given you to do and achieve, what if we were able to put that together and now proceed to where God wants us to be? Because that's the faith I'm talking about. So I want you to be clear. I'm not making your faith any less or greater than mine. I'm talking about together, how powerful can they be? So leaders, every one of them, that's it. Every lay people, all of you, let me see, you've got something to add. Don't come, don't let the enemy play in your head and tell you what you are is not valuable. The devil is a liar. Every one of you are valuable. And in an army, the truth, you can start thinking, well, I don't have no title. So what? You might be the one that faced a certain enemy that was getting ready to stab me in my back or shoot me, and you take them down. Do you think you're not vital? The only problem is, yes, me being a leader, I understand something. Typically, you know, when you took the leader out, the rest of the army surrendered. That's how it went back there, right? So you protect. Hello. For the reason, that's all. It doesn't make it greater. The enemy is a respected person, not God. Right? So watch this, God. I'm praying to listen. He said, adversity is inseparable from the attempt to achieve something great. Advancement always encounters new challenges and resistance. And it can be overwhelming. But when we stand together, what can we do? Adversity can also be an important ingredient to success. It can make you much better. Well, this is what it's done for me. I used to work in communication signals. And I had to learn electronics. And I had to learn something about voltage, current, and resistance. E over R, and then there was a pattern with the three, so the E, and the R, and over an I, right? And what that was voltage, resistance, and current, right? You need two of those things happening at all times in order for something else to happen, right? So I got to share something. Voltage with resistance creates current. Voltage with resistance creates current. Current is the flow of energy, right? So in other words, if there was no resistance, when there's no resistance, you just got an open line and then there's no flow of current. But the moment I put resistance into the equation, current now flows, which now can power something to be. So if you're looking, so I found out in my life that in order for me to experience the greatness that God wants to do in my life, I had to have some resistance. You know, I just like you, I complained about why this had to happen and why that happened, but But I realized if it didn't happen, I wouldn't get to where I need to be. So some stuff needs an eye opener, and it wakes me up so I can see what's happening and what's going on. And so, and I'm, by the way, at new levels, new depths. So every time I got to remind myself, I have to say, oh, I've been through this already. Why? Huh? New place, new level. This one got more zeros behind it. And more people at stake. Oh, y'all, you hear me? More zeros and more people at stake. But the answer is still the same. And God is still the same. He didn't change. He said, I'm going to change it today, tomorrow, or yesterday. Y'all know what I'm saying. He said, I'm the same every day. Nothing's going to change. In other words, I got to stand for truth. The truth is what the Word of God says. Right? So here we are. Here we are. So listen, I got these five tactics. Y'all ready? Tactic number one. Y'all got to get ready for this. Tactic number one, in order for you to deal with the daily adversity and facing our future. Tactic number one. Oh, I got to speak to myself. I'm ready to jump and run right now. I got to ignore the noise. Woo, glory to God. Oh, I've been having some noise. Oh, y'all, listen, I've got some noise coming up my way. Woo. Oh, my God. I even had some people. Can I have a private meeting? And they want to tell me their heart fell. And then, if I'm not clear and I'm not listening, I can get persuaded in the wrong direction. Ooh. But thank you to God.
Yes,
I wasn't listening with my ears. I wasn't listening with mine. I had to listen to God's ears. And he said, listen. So tactic number one, ignore the noise. And I want to give y'all the greatest example of this. One of the greatest leaders that ever has been in place was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in position. And let me share with you. Nehemiah was one of the greatest, most effective leaders in the Bible. How he did so many things correctly, and an incomplete list of things he did right, including he confirmed, listen to this, he confirmed that his calling was from God. So you have to be sure of who you are and whose you are and what you're called to do. I got to tell you, one of the greatest things in my life was, the first greatest thing in my life was to be born. That was number one, right, for me. Guess what the second greatest thing in my life was? And by the way, I believe number two is the greatest. The second greatest thing in my life was to understand my purpose. Woo, when I came into the knowledge of my purpose and understood something, that superseded the day I was born. Because now I understand why I was born. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. I know y'all don't want to shout for me right now. I'm going to shout for myself. So glory to God. I understand why I was born. And so listen. He said, so Nehemiah, he confirmed his calling was from God. And right there, second thing, he obtained the king's permission and authority to do the mission. I'll tell you, I got word from, that's right, from the Most High God, who called me to do what I'm doing and why I needed to do. And I started asking, now I'm asking that question, God, am I doing what you said to do? And if not, please show me how to forgive me for that which I did. Right. God, I need your direction. I need you to grant me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of you. So God, I can accomplish what it is you call me to do. Because I keep messing up about my own personal stuff and trying to do it. And I don't want to do that, God. I want to be who you called me to be. I want to do what you called me to do. Because you're more important. Your word is more important. And I don't care what people say or think, but I do care what you think. I've come to the place, so I started ignoring the noise. But God, what do you say?
And more.
I want to be graded by you. I need to know at my own point, at my own target. God, I need a sign from you.
And turn it just a little bit.
So I have to learn to ignore the noise, because the noise will cause you to get in fear. And fear will cause you to freeze every available resource. You'll freeze up. Instead of moving, you'll get stuck. I don't think I can afford to do that. I've watched my life.
That's good. See,
I can't talk about nobody else personally. He's always talking about himself. I am not talking about me. Although I keep saying I or me. Let me help you. I can only speak in the first, second, or third person, right? That's all I know of you. But the really, the I, the me, is only because of him. Did y'all hear me? The I, the me, is only because of him. So what he has done, he has created, I acknowledge that. And so in that, I'm trying to get this picture clear and did it. So ignoring, ignoring, he said, he obtained king's permission and authority. He was empowered. He had a letter authorizing his government and military assistance. I've been asking God for favor, and I'm telling you what, I want the favor of God, I want the favor of the bank, I want the favor of people around me, I want the favor of the politicians in this community, I want the favor of the police department, the fire department, I want favor. I want favor from the people. Then the reality is I will not get that. I don't want anybody praising me. That's not what I said. I want in favor. Right? There's a difference at the end of the day. And so he gathered the people to assist them. And this is what I'm working on. I talked to a couple leaders this morning. Said, hey, I'm hearing God. This is not it. We got to be ready before it's our turn, not when it's our turn. In other words, I need you to step it up. I need you wants to be in place. If we believe in God for people of God to come into this house and to be here, we need to be here before they can get here. So if there was a visitor here before you was here today, you need to check yourself out. The reason I'm saying that is you might be the one that needs to minister to them. But we need to be in a position so that we can minister. Hello? And don't get all convicted and all this. The circumstances, situations, things change, right? But as a group and as an overall unit, our mindset has to not be, it'll take care of itself. And I'm not going to be this. If you're not going to be this, the question is, what is your duty? Obviously, they're not valuable. Because if you don't think you're going to be this, hello? This is what the Lord did. I'm saying what he's doing with me. And I'm sharing it all the way down the line. Why? Because I ain't in this by myself.
I think that we
and there's no need to be not having to hear what the Lord says and not share with y'all. Right? I've been doing this service. So those of you in the moment, this thing, listen to what I'm saying. This is our my life. It's our life. This will affect your life too. How you're running your home, how you're running your life, why the things that are happening around you, how they're happening. Okay? And then the question is why? Okay? Always, there's always a why. So here we go. This is what Nehemiah did. So when we go back to again, he confirmed his call. He obtained king's permission. He was empowered. He had a letter authorizing him, and he had military assistance. But he gathered the people to assist them. In other words, I can't do this alone. I can't grow this ministry by myself. I can't be at the school and grow the school by myself. I have a part to play. But if I be allowed to play my part and not be doing everybody else's job. Oh, that's like, you know what, I went and picked the kids up the other day because somebody wasn't there at the last minute and it caused Pastor Rob to have to go somewhere else, right? But all of us do that. Lady T was covering the aftercare class. We all was in places we shouldn't have been. The whole leadership team was not in position where to be. And I didn't even realize that until just now. The whole team was out of position. Because the enemy staged something and put it in position to get us to react. And we reacted because we moved to where we were, all because somebody was out of position. And what it caused us is none of us could actually function in our role. Y'all not hearing me. It may sound trivial, but I've just seen how this, if he does it there, how much more than he does it on a larger scale for where we are. So I'm trying to pay attention to if I'm not being a visionary to see where we can't go to the next place. I'm telling you because I was called to be that. But if I'm not doing something else, I'm not being a visionary, right? And so if I'm not doing what I'm called to do, and I'm doing something else, then you're going to find me again. So Nehemiah had to gather people to assist him. He developed and clearly defined vision. And so he said, write the vision and make it plain. And I this is why I'm taking my time to walk around and speak to people that I may not even talk to on a normal basis. Why? Because I need them to know who I am and to know why God has called us to this. Because I can articulate it. And so vision has to be clear. Okay? So when that way you don't have to assume to try to make up another one. Hello? Okay. I can't develop the leaders for tomorrow. Now, I don't expect them to be me. But they have to grab hold of the vision for themselves and see it the way God's given it to them. But you can't. There's no need to create another vision when God's already given the vision. Hello? So we can keep on seeing come up and create a whole lot of things. And that's the danger of our world. So God had a vision for us, right? But we want to create something else. Right? We want to do the Burger King thing. Have it your way. Hold the pickle. Hold the lettuce. No, that's not what he's saying. So listen. He said the vision, he clearly defined the vision. And the vision became a shared vision that was embraced by everyone. This is what makes Nehemiah so powerful. He gathered the people together. He empowered the people. Then they embraced the vision. And then, guess what happened? He put groups together because he couldn't put everybody together, right? So he had this one coming against that one. He gave them all their own assignment, right? They own different groups. Guess what he got? 100% participation. You're not hearing me. He got 100% of participation. So what did he do? He ignored the noise. He encountered great resistance, numerous threats by Sanballat, Tobiah, and their cohorts. This would stop at nothing to stop Nehemiah's mission. His response was extraordinary. Nehemiah did everything possible to prepare for possible attack from the enemy. But he otherwise ignored them. He did not go to meet with them. He didn't allow himself to be trapped. He ignored them and remained focused on his mission. When they threatened and demanded an answer, Nehemiah simply ignored them. In other words, he didn't respond to the noise. If leaders are going to accomplish something and people are with their purpose, they must learn to ignore the noise of the enemy. And so I want to share with you how many of y'all have been threatened in your lives and about them. And I got to tell you something, especially when you tell me, I got to help somebody here too. You either you believe God or you don't. So I want to say this to you, especially in the area of healing. If you believe God for healing, you want to have a walk in it. You cannot keep talking and going backwards. Every time you do that, you set in motion what was. And I'm saying, although the things and the circumstances in which you face are real, but so is his power. So is his anointing. So is his strength. I got to tell you something. And then you can say, when you come and give the victory word and say what God did, you know that no one else can do it. Now, by the way, he created the doctrine. He created all the stuff he's given them to do. So if he's giving you insight to go use and utilize them, do so. Okay, don't let nobody tell you you lack faith. Okay, then you either got to believe that this is going to help you or not. That's what I want you to do. I'm telling you, we keep letting stuff get in the way. The strongest thing I'm talking about is faith. Do I believe or not? Do I believe that God is God? Do I believe God created doctrine? Do I believe God created medicine? Do I believe God created people on my behalf? Do I believe his word that I can be healed? I'm going to. Do I believe I can be delivered? Do I believe I can be set free? Do I believe I can be prosperous? I'm talking about the things that are plaguing us, right? And I'm sharing with you. You got to ignore the noise, because if you get stuck in the noise, you'll say, woe is me, and you'll go back to saying what you've always said, and then, you know, well, and then, by the way, I didn't read faith as a me. Let me say this to somebody over here. I didn't read about faith being me. I read now. Somebody say now. Now. I read now, which there was no question about that now. It was then when you said, okay, now, what I did read in there is it would become evidence and substance. And then I have yet to see it. Contrast, which means it was put off a little bit. All right? Now, I have no idea in time what time is. It could be a second, a day, a year, a lifespan, whatever it is. But it said, if he said it, it has to come to pass. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he said, he responded with extraordinary, Nehemiah did everything to focus. When he was threatened, he just ignored them. So tactic number two, so I can get the second one in. I'm not going to be able to get any more. But tactic number two, this is where I started that today. Tactic number two, trust God to work where you can. Woo, glory to God. At what point are we going to believe God? Because I got to tell you something. I used to listen to Pastor Rob say this all the time. And I'd be saying, you got to stop saying this. Right? But I did what I said, I'm going to say it today. I'm going to say what he was saying. Because he was right. He was right. All these things I'm doing in my life that I ain't had nobody to teach me. What I'm doing and how in the world you're doing. Because God, the Father, is showing me the way. And you can hear God will give you direction and show you beyond your own natural ability to do what you know how to do. And stop counting on what you know how to do. Because what you know how to do will limit you. Because it's limited. But God is limitless. And so we've got to put the trust in God. So here, this statement here is number two is trust. Trust. Trust in God. Trust where you can. Trust God to work where you can. That's how I wrote it. So we need to be believing God for where we are with that. Amen. Glory to God. And so when you got that, I need God to step into that place where I myself can't do it. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's some stuff going on in my life right now. I definitely need God. He said, you? Absolutely. You as well as me. If I do this without God, I can assure you I'm going to mess up. But with God, it's all possible. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you. Well, you will stop thinking it's just you. I'm telling you, I don't talk about other people. I always put myself, I interject myself. So you always say, well, he's not doing that. Absolutely. Just like you do. Right? I act like I'm not human. And I ain't a part of them. I'm being trusted you more than ever to work where I can. So I'm actually, bringing me before people, opening doors that I know was shut. I saw it. In fact, there was a period in my life I walked into it. And then, hold on, I tried the door, the lock, and it ain't open. Right? I'm like, and I even knocked. And they didn't even, no response because I wasn't authorized. Ooh, glory to God. But let me share something now. Now, there's been a great door open before you. And so now I'm approaching the door, but he opened it. Oh yes, I'm stepping in. Ain't no need to grab the open door and don't go in. Okay? This ain't no scary movie. I'm worried about what's on the inside. No. This was a blessing. Okay? And he opened the door. By the way, he also said there were great adversaries. So there was a whole host of people trying to keep me out. And things. I want to encourage you. So listen. So trust God to work where you can. So this is, I'm going to use the example of Queen Esther. Jewish people were caught in a corrupt political nightmare. The trap was an allegation. They were going to be wiped out. The evil human, Herman, had masterful the plot. He had devised a plan. Glory to God, to eliminate the Jews. The date was set. It was irreversible. In desperation of the Jews, prayed fast to God for deliverance. And at the determined time, Esther risked her very own life to approach the king. And sometimes you're going to think some risk. So what she did by going to the king and not being called on was a law that was put in place that if you did that, you would be killed. Now she was queen. It didn't matter what the position. Okay? So how many of your law don't have grace? Y'all need to know that. It has no grace whatsoever. It is what it is, and interpreted Abihud and Durham. So listen, but yet God's grace was in play even here because he went against the law. He went against the law. Esther risked her life. And listen, and when she did so, it was unknown to Esther that God was working in areas that no human could have worked. God orchestrated the miraculous times and events that ended Herman's life and the heathen, and then it liberated the Jews people. The leader must do all these things they can do. People must do all the things they can do. But learn at the point to allow God to be God. You must trust God to work in areas where you can't. There's some stuff we just can't do. Are we going to allow God to be God? This is where, so I've told you, I've been praying for the favor of God. I've been praying for the wisdom of God. I've been praying for the knowledge of God, that I would get to know him in that way. Why am I praying for that knowledge? Because I need to know him to operate in the places that knowing him gives me a better assurance of who I am and what I am to face. Because knowing who he is and what he has done and why he has done it will clarify what I need to be done. Somebody will get that in a minute. Okay. You're thinking too much on your own. And you're gifted. You're talented. You had to work hard in your life to get to where you are. But that's don't get that confused with where you need God. I'm telling you right now, that place, you got a lot of talent, a lot of gifts, but I got to know where God is. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to end right there on that second one. That place right there, I think that's a good place to end. Listen, a place to trust God, to work where I can. And I got three other ones that I got to finish, and I'll bring them back to you next week. But I don't want to push this message anymore. I need to do that. But I want to tell you, facing our future with God or without God is your choice. And that's where we need to be at in our lives. And I would encourage you, don't try to do this thing alone. You know, how many know that people weren't born to be alone? Okay, they're not. And then don't get this confused. We are not to live out our lives not to interact with other humans.
That's right.
So don't get, when I talk about that, they're getting confused. Okay, our life and our job is to interact with them. Okay? And that's what we need to do. And I want to encourage you, as saints of God, we need to, since even while we're here in church, we need to get all the messages. And for those of y'all who are watching, we need to get in here so we can get to see you and meet you and talk with you and pray with you. But even us today, sometimes you need to get somebody to hug that you didn't come with. Just speak to them. Wow. Just come to your sister. You know, but too often we come in and go out. We've done it all locked down all over the world. Right? What if you bring for love, a little conversation, a little love? Amen. That's what I would like to ask you to do. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just inviting you to do today, we start. We're not only we on Facebook Live, but we are YouTube channel is up, Faith Harvest WC. Okay. So we're up and live there. We're going to be doing some more things.